God, would you just speak to us now? As we press into this series on hope, would our hope be fixed in you? Amen. So this morning we are reading from Mark chapter 5, verse 21. We're beginning on. So if you want to follow, it's Mark chapter 5, verse 21. What am I doing that's wrong? Okay. Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." And so Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better through the care, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciple answered, "and yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking round to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet. And trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Amen. So, when I first saw what I was going to be speaking about this morning, to be honest, my reaction was like, "Oh, great. Why do I seem to be getting all the tough ones at the minute?" Why do I seem to be getting the depressing ones at the minute? But actually, the more I leaned on this passage, the more I pushed in, I was so happy that I got to spend time with this week. For me, I don't know about you, in this whole series of hope, I've been really challenged. I can say I know who I have my hope in. I know that my hope is in Jesus Christ and in him alone. And I've been able to recognise for a long time that that is who I put my hope in. But also, I've realised that hope isn't like this thing that just chugs along like this, is it? Hope is a bit like this throughout our lives. Whatever we're facing, it can be up and down. It's not a passage that just goes easy. It's not just great. It's not just awful. It's not just in the middle and just okay, that Christian fine. It's a bit all over the place. And sometimes I am fully invested in singing the song, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." And at other times, I know that sometimes I lose some of that hope. And those words sometimes get a bit stuck in your throat. Does anyone have those words in songs where you just can't quite get it out and you think, oh? Life can be sometimes particularly battering or wearing. And although in these times I don't, and I think we don't, lose complete hope in Christ, we have our wobbly moments, don't we? Where we just feel a bit, ugh. But the passage that we're thinking about today, when I started really studying it and really resting in it, I saw that it's actually about the key of living in the hope of Jesus. It's all about faith. Where do I put my faith? In whom do I trust? So today we're going to push into this. What can we learn from the woman who was suffering about her faith? How can our faith lead us into more hope? So first, to the woman with the issue of blood. Such a weird way of putting it, isn't it? It's such a male way of putting it, to be honest, guys. The woman with the issue of blood. Sometimes I think we don't maybe pay attention to quite how desperate a situation this woman was in. This woman, we don't know, Gemma reminded me this week, we don't know the complete ins and outs of her medical history. We don't know what it looked like completely for her. But we do know that she had been bleeding for 12 years. So this woman was physically worn out. When you bleed for that long, you're probably going to be anemic, suffering from fatigue, be in pain, feeling depressed. It would influence the whole of your body and your whole well-being. She was physically suffering from what was going on in her body. It wasn't just a stomach ache. She was suffering. To add to this suffering, the woman was broke. She had given all that she had financially to trying to find an answer, a way of stopping what was going on in her body. The doctors hadn't been able to come up with anything, and she had suffered so much under their care. Had they even given her any care, or had they just dismissed her? She was female in a patriarchal, law-abiding society, and she didn't fit the mould of what was expected of what a woman was supposed to be like. But even with all the pain, physically and financially, there was something even worse for this woman. She was seen as unclean, unworthy, unholy. She was shunned. She was alone. She was rejected. She was an outcast. She was isolated, abandoned, and without any worth. But why? The society that she was in the group of Jewish believers where she lived, they lived by the law. And the law is what we read about in Leviticus. And it says this. When a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has the discharge, just as in the days of her period. Any bed she lies on while her discharge continues will be unclean, as is her bed during her monthly period, and anything she sits on will be unclean as well. Anyone who touches her will be unclean. They must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be unclean until evening. You must keep the Israelites separate from things that make them unclean, so they will not die in their uncleanliness for defiling my dwelling place, which is among them. You see, God's people, God's Jewish people, they were following a law that felt like they would be able to be in the presence of God because he is holy. And yet they looked on this woman as if she was rubbish. They'd forgotten that God calls us to love. That he calls us to love beyond anything. And they didn't love this woman. This was so rough for this woman. This woman couldn't enter the temple. She couldn't come into the courts of worship. This woman couldn't have physical contact. To literally have no human want to touch you for 12 years. Imagine it. And it wasn't like she could just approach people. People would literally run a mile. They'd go out of their way to avoid her. Any contact with this woman would make them unclean and they would need to be purified. They are literally avoided like this woman, like she was the disease. They avoided her like she was the disease rather than someone who was suffering. How was she feeling? How did she cope? How did she face the day? Did she want to give up? Did she feel helpless and hopeless? Did she wonder, why me? Why God? Was she bitter? Was she like, oh, where do I put my faith? Did she have faith that it could get better? Or was she living like this was her lot forever? Did she have faith that God loved her? Did she have faith that God could save her? But this woman, we read, had heard of Jesus. this woman had heard of Jesus. What had she heard, I wonder? Had she heard of a specific miracle? Had she heard he turned water into wine? Had she heard all of the miracles that had happened that have not even been recorded in the Bible? There are so many to count. Had she heard about Jesus's character? Had she heard about his teaching? Teaching that was putting the teachers of the law in a spin because it was so countercultural. What was it that she had heard? It's another one of those mysteries, isn't it? One of those mysteries that there's quite a few of in this story. And yet, we don't need to know what she heard. We just know that she heard of the name of Jesus. Faith isn't about knowing everything. It's not about having all of the answers and being like, oh, I can sign up for that because I know everything about it. Faith is trusting. It's believing. It's an action. In Hebrews 11, when the writer talks about faith in action, about all these amazing people that have gone before us in our faith, it talks about Abraham and how he walked in faith and all of these people. At the beginning, it says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is literally a movement in a direction. We say, don't we? Oh, just take a step of faith. Just take a leap of faith. It's not only about seeing what is possible in the physical, in the doable, in what can happen in our imagination and in our mind, but seeing and knowing of the possibilities of the spiritual, of miracles and wonders beyond our human understanding of things. It's about believing in what we cannot see, trusting in the truth and the promises of God. The woman in our story today, she had faith. She'd heard something of Jesus. We don't know what, but she'd heard the name of Jesus. And she knew that she needed to receive from him. She was desperate and had nowhere to go. Whom else could she turn to? When everything and everyone had failed her, she placed her faith in Jesus. She had hope of a better future. She had hope of a better life. Hope rested in God, in his promises to love and never leave her. But what did this look like? I'm sure she had plenty of dreams and plenty of desires. To be physically healed, yes. To be seen as clean again. To enter the temple courts. To be accepted. To have money and not be destitute. To be loved. To be restored for her family. To be able to have a child. It said, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At this time, 2000 whatever years ago, there was like this superstition or this common belief at the time where Jesus was around, that a person's clothing carried the power of a person. Was she maybe thinking, okay, he's got his power on it. If I just have a little jab of it, I'm going to grab some of that power into myself. This woman, she had faith, but it weren't perfect faith. What even is perfect faith? I know I don't have it. She had faith that Jesus could heal her physically, but she didn't know about how he could really heal her. Whole healing. Isn't this true for us? We have this faith or even hope that Jesus will heal. He'll mend, he'll sort out, he'll complete, he'll undo or he'll do up. And this woman, she had received Jesus's power by touching his cloak. But once she'd encountered Jesus, she received his peace. Once she encountered Jesus, she received his peace. Her faith was the key to her having hope, hope of true freedom. We read, at once Jesus realized that power had gone from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered. Didn't the disciples always have attitude? "And yet, you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, nobody called this woman daughter. They had denied her. Daughter, it's the only time Jesus calls it someone. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Imagine this woman. It must have been so bad, even trying to get near Jesus. You can imagine all the sniggering, all the laughing at her, all the talking about her, the recoiling at the very sight of her, the fear she conjured in people at the thought of accidentally brushing up against her and becoming unclean themselves. But she pushed through this big crowd to just have one touch of Jesus, and she was instantly healed. Instantly. She knew that, but then Jesus calls her out. How much did she want to run away in that moment, to melt into the crowd, to disappear? But she knew he knew, and so it all came pouring out. Her story, or her shame, or her fear. And instead of being angry, which is what she worried about, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." How do we come to Jesus? Do you come in complete faith that he will move in power? Do you have faith that he can? It's far easier to say yes and amen when life is plodding along nicely, but far harder when we are in desperation and nothing seems to be moving. Do we share our whole story with Jesus? Even the bits that are so shameful, we cannot even vocalize them. We don't speak them out of our mouths. Jesus didn't say to the woman, "Well, now you're all sorted physically, be on your way and have a good life." He didn't say that everything in her life was going to be sorted and easy now. He said, "Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." This woman had hope. Hope that God was with her, that God was for her, and that she was loved. Faith in Jesus saved this woman, and faith in Jesus brings us our salvation. And salvation is everything. And yet, he gives us even more than that. He gives us even more than salvation. We are not alone. We are loved. We are free. We are given gifts and live in the miraculous every day. And we have hope of a future perfection that we see glimpses of right now. Earlier, I wondered what hope meant for this woman. And I wanted to share with you a story that I shared with some kids the other week when I was doing something. What is true hope like? I checked with Matt. I don't think I've shared this story. When a very long time ago, I went to India and I was there teaching children who actually didn't have a home. They lived on the streets. And so every day we'd go around with a school bus and pick up the children from the streets and take them to school and feed them and play with them, let them get washed and dressed into clean clothes and give them some kind of enjoyment in life. And one day we were on the way to school and we picked up a family who were the most beautiful family. I just will never ever forget this family of children. They were beautiful. And one of the little girls, she was only about six probably. Her name was Kajal, and she came and sat down next to me, and she'd got a bag of puffed rice, which is like the cheapest food you can buy in India. It was like a rupee, which is like, I don't know, less than a penny of what she'd got in her hand. And this girl, this was all the food that she had in the world. She didn't know that she would ever be fed again because it wasn't certain within her family. Her mum wasn't around and her dad was constantly high on heroin. And she got on the bus, she had this bit of rice and she was eating away. And she said, hello, auntie. I said, hello. And she came down next to me and she would talk to me in Bengali and I would really try hard to understand it, and not very often. And this little girl didn't know where her next meal was coming from. And she just shoved the last bit of puff rice in her mouth. And she looked at me and she said, sorry, auntie. And I was like, what's she saying sorry for? And she opened her mouth, took out the rice, shoved it in my mouth and closed my mouth. I thought, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, please. Please don't let me. But I need to swallow this. And do you know what? That moment will forever be a moment in my life that changed me, because God used it. God used this little girl to show me that she didn't know where her next meal was coming from. Nothing was guaranteed, and yet she had hope. She had hope. She loved Jesus, even though her family were Muslim. She lived in absolute destitution. It was disgusting. Things happened to her no child should ever have happened to them. It was just horrible. And yet she had hope of a better future. She had hope because she'd heard the name of Jesus. And sometimes we live these quite comfortable lives, let's be honest. And when it all goes wrong, suddenly we're like, oh no, where's my hope? In whom do I put my trust? Where is my faith going? And yet she taught me she had nothing, and yet she had everything because she had her hope fixed firmly in Jesus. Earlier, I wondered what hope meant for this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. Did it mean for her to be physically healed, to be seen as clean again, to enter the temple, to be accepted, to have money and not to be destitute, to be loved, to be restored to her family, or to have children? Jesus didn't answer these questions. She was physically healed. At least we know she was no longer suffering. But we don't know if this woman was ever seen as clean again. We don't know if she was ever able to enter the courts of the temple. We don't know if she was ever accepted or her character was always had a stain on it. Did she ever have any money or a place to stay? Was she ever loved by anyone other than Jesus? Was she ever reunited with her family? Was she ever able to have a child? We are never going to have all of the answers. And that is hard. Like sometimes too hard to put into words. But it doesn't mean we should be without faith. And it doesn't mean that we are without hope. This woman had faith. Not perfect faith, not I have all the answers faith, but faith that she needed Jesus more than anything or anyone else the world had to offer. But faith that she needed Jesus. And when she encountered Jesus, she was left with hope. Hope for a brighter future. And maybe it was in the now, or maybe that brighter future was in the forever. But it was firmly fixed in Jesus. Around this story in the Bible, we read of lots of other stories of Jesus encountering people who were seen as unclean, unholy, outsiders, a bleeding woman, a dead child, someone who was demon-possessed, a blind man. This is the difference of Jesus. This is the beauty of Jesus. This is the brilliance He brings, and him alone. These people were unholy, but Jesus scorns public opinion. Jesus does not agree with it. He brings newness, new health, new releasing, new sight, new life. We can have renewed hope in him. My hope goes up and down like this. I'm sure the woman in the story today was a bit like that. And yet, it is also renewed and restored in him and by him. Who are we trusting today? Whom do you put your faith in today? Where does our hope come from? As a believer, we like to think that they're really easy questions. Yeah, got that. Got it, sorted that years ago. Don't need to think about that. But actually, we live in the reality. We live in the now, in the muck and the mess of life. We live in a world that is held by sin, and yet there is freedom. These things of life are difficult. It is up and down. It takes work. We have to push in, let go, and trust. We have to be honest with ourselves and with God. God knows it all already, and yet we let shame hold us down. We're like, oh no, I'll keep that hidden. That's just for me. God already knows it. We need to vocalize it and give it to him and say, God, I can't do this. We have to actively hope and not just say the words. If you know the words, say it with me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. My hope is in Jesus. I want to be more like the woman that we've read about today. I want to pin my faith in Jesus and grow on having more hope in him, knowing that he is the one who brings new health, new release, new sight and new life. How about for all the rest of us today? How do you want your faith and hope in Jesus to look like? Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that you are the one who sustains us. We thank you, Lord God, that just as that woman knew, you do not leave, you do not forsake us, you do not abandon us. You are our constant and you are with us. Oh, Jesus, we thank you that you do bring newness, that you bring new life to us, that not only do you bring salvation, but you gift us with so much more. Oh, Lord God, as we search our hearts now, may we have more faith in you. May we have more trust in you. And may that lead us into more hope, that releasing of hope that you have given us as a gift. May we rest in you and you alone. Amen.